the Eason Book Club on The Pat Kenny Show, sharing book recommendations with book lovers every month.
So for this month's Eason Book Club, we chose The Perfect Lie by Joe Spain. What did our panel think of the book? Well, they're joining us now to talk about it. Claudia Carroll, Stephanie Preisner and Keith Walsh, you're all very welcome. Who wants to start the ball rolling? Maybe Stephanie, what did you think of the book?
This was my choice, and I actually haven't read a Joe Spain book before, so I was really, and people rave about them, and I can totally understand why. It kicked off from the very start, like it was a page turner from the get-go, where like 5 years ago, Erin moves from Ireland to New York after a family tragedy, and she doesn't expect to fall in love and remain in the US. But at the start of the book, she's living with her detective husband, Danny, and the book opens with this big drama, and from the get-go you're like, oh my god, how is this going to get resolved? It was incredible. It moves between three different timelines. So there's Erin now in the court case in the present day because she's being charged with her husband's murder, even though we know at the start that he wasn't murdered. So that there's huge intrigue there. Then there's Erin.
Let's explain that.
Am I allowed to explain that without ruining it?
Well, just the beginning is fine because you learn about this in the first couple of pages.
So the first couple of pages, Erin's husband, Danny, jumps out the window and commits suicide, dies by suicide. And then we skip to the next chapter and she's being charged for the murder of her husband. So there's huge intrigue there and it's quite confusing, but in a way that's, I can't wait to get more and more and that more will be revealed. Because as the three stories unfold, there's Erin now in the court case in the present day, Erin then, the day that Danny jumped, and that storyline progresses until it merges with the court case. And then there's this third storyline of Harvard with these two characters, Lauren and Ali. And you're kind of wondering, how do these guys tie into the story?
That will park it there with you, Stephanie, because you did select it. And obviously you enjoyed your own selection, which is good. Claudia, did you enjoy Stephanie's choice?
Well, you know, Pat, I think I would defy any reader to read the opening chapter and not read right through to the very end. It's not a case of, oh, I'd quite like to find out what happens here. You have to find out what happens. The book just grabs you by the scruff of the neck and it won't let go until you know what happens. So the character of Erin becomes us, the reader. She becomes like a detective. And what she can't understand is that, you know, the story starts in Long Island. She's happily married, so happily married. She hasn't known her husband Danny for terribly long before they tie the knot, but they're such a fantastic couple. They're, you know, it's a normal, mundane morning. They're making coffee, having showers, chatting about her birthday, which is coming up. He's planning for the future. The knock on the door, and it's his partner in the police force. Danny is a cop, whose character called Ben. And Ben and Danny would be very close, obviously. And he just looks at Danny and says, we're going to need to talk to you. And Danny, Erin says she looks at him and she knows what he's about to do before he even does it. He plunges to his death. And no one can understand why. His mother can't understand why. Doors are closing in Erin's face. She goes to the police station where her husband worked, and cops are so famously bonded and so famously loyal to each other the world over. But the doors have shut in her face. No one will tell her what's going on.
Yeah, and we are mystified as to how she can be charged with murder when we know that he chose to jump out the window himself. Claudia, did the backwards and forwards nature of the narrative bother you? You know, we have the time of their relationship and how she met him, and there's a little surprise, I suppose, and his name is Danny Ryan, but we won't reveal any of those surprises. But how she met him and her sister and all that kind of stuff. But then it goes back to the university campus and what was unfolding there. And I found that as I was reading through, and the end of a chapter where you're dealing, say, in the present, and you want to find out what happens next, and then suddenly you're back in a different time. And it irritated me a bit at the beginning, but then I just got used to it. And I just had to say to myself, hold your wish now. We'll get there. We'll get there. You know, maybe the chapter after next, we'll resume the narrative of this chapter. So how did you find that?
It didn't bother me at all because it's all very clearly outlined. Now, the timelines are very close to each other. The now is set in December 2020. And that's when Erin is up in court charged with the murder of her husband. And we know she didn't murder her husband. We know that he jumped to his death. So you think, what? How'd she get here? But there's a fantastic character of Carla, her lawyer, who's like a Rottweiler. She's not letting anything go and is fighting tooth and nail for her client. Then the past storyline, Erin in the past, is only back to July 2019. So it's barely 18 months. And that's when all is well with her and Danny. And we just do not know what's going on until her life turns on a hairpin. Okay. The Harvard storyline took me a little while to figure because it's set in 2016 and it concerns a student liaison officer called Ali, whose job is just to look after the welfare of the students she's in charge of at Harvard. And she's really worried about one of them, who's a very good student called Lauren, who goes missing. And is missing for a couple of days, but turns up again, bruised, battered, and refusing
and
to talk about what happened.
No more spoilers yet.
No more spoilers.
Because I want to talk to Keith. Keith, what did you think of the book?
Yeah, I thought it was a grand book.
Damning with faint praise.
It was grand. It was definitely a well-constructed... I mean, the opening, you know, you couldn't but be sort of like taken with the opening and the suicide straight away. You're definitely hooked. It's a great hook. It's a very sort of well-constructed book. And even though there's different timelines and stories going on, you're still intrigued because, you know, it's a page turner. But something about it for me was it was a carefully constructed page turner. And I know that Joe would like to get a bestseller in America. And I wondered when I was reading, I was like, well... What, you know, when it's a college, it has to be Harvard, and like they live in Long Island, and it's all very fancy, and there's mention of the Gilmore Girls, and then there's the girl who goes out with her friends, and they're doing shots, and it all seems like to be set for a certain reader, and I just couldn't, and you know, even though it was a really great book and it was well done, I just couldn't get into it. I don't know if I wasn't. Maybe it says more about me and, you know, coming out of COVID, and I just can't find, you know, the escapism escaped me, if you know what I mean, with this book. I didn't necessarily care about everybody. And even though I had to, you know, I suppose it was homework in one way, but also I wanted to find out what happened. But it was almost like there was bits in the middle where it lagged, and I was like, I just skipped a few pages, and I was like, well, just tell me what happens at the end, you know, because you know, what happened in Ireland, where's what you know, why did she leave, all that kind of stuff, and you just want to find out. But I feel like there could have, yeah, it was just, it was constructed as a page turner. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it certainly works as a page turner because I kept turning the pages. Stephanie, that business of America, and there's no doubt in Erin's head, home is Ireland. I mean, in spite of where it's set. You know, family is very important, and she is, although living in the American landscape, she's very much still rooted to what happened at home.
She is, and like when what happened at home is so, you know, is as tragic as what happened to her sister Niamh, then you're obviously going to, you know, but there's also a sense that she's trying to run away from it, and there's her family come over when her husband commits suicide, her sister comes over, and there's all that sort of talk of Irishness and Ireland, and you definitely do get a sense that this is an Irish person abroad. There were references just coming in there on the American references. There was a lot of sort of American politics references to Trump, which I sort of hate when it's not driving the plot forward. But if it's looking for a bestseller in America, then maybe those were kind of strategies that she used. There's also an acknowledgement at the end of the book. I read the book so much that I actually read the acknowledgements as well. I did really enjoy it. But she does acknowledge that this book is dedicated to all of the Irish diaspora who have been away from home during COVID, and how difficult that is, and how it can be difficult, particularly at home when you do lose someone. And there's all that sort of in the mix in the novel as well.
Well, it's a thumbs up from two of you, and a kind of a parallel thumb from Keith, I suspect.
Sideways thumb.
But anyway, I found it a very good read, and like on a summer's day like today. Perfect stuff for the garden. And by the way, Joe has got a terrific track record as a screenwriter as well as a novelist. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if she makes a breakthrough in the United States. She was one of the co-writers with Stuart Carlin on Love Hate and is working on other TV shows
Harry
as well.
Wild. Yeah, with Jane Seymour. It's filming at the moment.
Exactly. So she's a very successful person and we wish her more of it. But Keith, it's time for you to tell us, and we'll give you the weekend to decide which book you'd like for July. And let me tell you what Eason has recommended. So, Mother Mother by Annie McManus. It tells the tale of Mary McConnell, a Belfast woman who lost her mother as a baby and longs to know more about her. One morning, her 17-year-old son Joe wakes up to find his mother is missing, setting in motion a dark but gripping tale about family, addiction, grief and motherhood. As we follow Joe's search for his mother, he begins to understand what has led her to this point. The second book is The Pact by Sharon Bolton. Six friends from wealthy, privileged families are looking forward to going to university and to bright futures. However, the night before they get their A-level results, their dreams are dashed when a prank goes horribly wrong, killing a mother and two children. With their ambitions in tatters, Megan, the smartest and most talented of the bunch, offers to take the blame alone. However, she will be owed a favour from each of her friends when she's finally released from prison. Anything she asks, whenever she asks it. That's The Pact. A Shock by Keith Ridgway. Described as an unsparing, slippery and shockingly good new novel, Keith Ridgway presents us with a group of loosely connected characters beset with physical and psychological problems. Set on the fringes of London, the characters' interlocking stories captures their struggles to come to terms with their own situations. So not too much detail there. And Holding Her Breath by Emma Ryan. Champion swimmer Beth Crowe has just started out at university, where she seeks to establish a fresh identity for herself. After falling in love with the poetry of her famous grandfather, Benjamin Crowe, Beth forms a secret relationship to find out the truth about her grandfather and her late grandmother, Lydia. In a tale of love, ambition and grief, Beth obtains access to an archive that no student has seen before and meets a person who knows things about her family that nobody else does. So, Keith, lots to cogitate upon.
Lots to think about, yeah. They all sound very interesting. I'll have a think over the weekend.
Okay, and we'll catch up with you after the weekend and we'll let our readers know what we'd like to share with them, which we will review on the 15th of July. So my thanks to our Eason Book Club panellists, Claudia Carroll, Keith Walsh and Stephanie Preisner. Do join us and discover more about the books we're reading at newstalk.com/Eason's Book Club.